It's about the good old days.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all. My name is David Quaid. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are so excited that you would decide to worship with us today, whether you're here in the room or you're online. Welcome in. I'll be giving the message in just a moment. I'm excited to do that. But before we do that, I have a couple things I'd like to mention. The first thing I'd like to mention is recently we had a membership class where 22 adults decided to become members of Vineyard Church North Phoenix. Their names will be on the screen right here. Maybe. There we go. They'll be on the screen. If you see these people around, please, man, say welcome to the family. We're so excited to have them. What it means to be a member here is a few things we ask them to commit to doing. The first thing is that they commit to coming to service regularly, being a part of our weekend attendance, that they would go to a small group, that they would serve, and they would give regularly financially. In return, our members receive a parking spot with their name on it. Some of you are like, where's my parking spot, dude? I'm just kidding. That last one is totally made up, all right? There is no parking spots. We are not that kind of church. You just park where you park, all right? Sorry about that last one. But we do ask them to commit to those first four things. So again, if you see them around, if you recognize the name on the screen, please tell them, welcome to the family. We are so glad that God continues to build this church in all different kinds of ways, and so we're so glad. The other thing I wanted to mention before we get to the message today is the offering. So if I could have the ushers, please come down to the front. While they're doing that, just a quick note, a quick thank you. Thank you to those of you who choose to give to God through VC. Whenever you give, however you give, it is making a difference. And it doesn't just make a difference here during our weekend services or in this room, but all the days of the week. Things you don't see that I see as a pastor on our staff, that some of you who serve regularly here see, God is always working through his people here at this church. And it's not just on Saturday, Sunday, but it's every single day. And God is so good to use us that way. And so thank you for choosing to give to God so we can reach people here at this church, in our community, and even around the world. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we invite your presence here. And God, we know it's already here. We've experienced it through the singing of song, through the giving of our finances, Lord. We love to worship you with everything we are. And so, God, I pray that you take the money that is given, Lord, that you multiply it for your kingdom. And I thank you, God, that you continue to just use this church for your glory. And, God, as we open your word in this spiritual act of worship, of reading your word and studying your word, I pray, Lord, that your presence be felt here, Lord, that our hearts be fertile soil in which your truth can land. And God, I pray that each person's eyes may be opened so that they may see what you have for them today, and their ears may be tuned to you so they can hear what you have. Would you speak through me, God? Would you be our teacher today? It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to week four of our 40 Days in the Word campaign. My hope is that you've been able to follow along. If you haven't, that's okay. We're so glad you're here. But if you have, I'm hoping that you've found your way in to a small group somewhere, whether in person or online. And I hope that you've also been using your small group booklet to do your daily devotionals. And I hope that's been very enriching for you. As we are in this campaign, I thought it would be appropriate to share with you my first impression, my first moment that I can remember of the Bible, of encountering the Bible. I was about 5 years old. And at this time, my family was not a believing family, but I remember in our front room, under our front window, there was a bookcase. And on this bookcase, there was this huge decorative book. It kind of looked like this. This is not a box, by the way. Some of you might think this is like a shoebox. This is a book. This is made of paper, the whole thing. And I had something kind of like this that sat on the front bookshelf of the window of my house. And I remember being about 5 years old and seeing this book and really not knowing what it was. I mean, I could tell by the look of it that it looked pretty expensive, you know, that it looked pretty old. And I knew, even at five, that my mom would kill me if I touched this book. But also, the book looked like no one had ever touched it in my house. It sat as a statue in the front room of my house. It sat as a family heirloom, a decoration. And so for me, even at that age, I began to feel like maybe the Bible is just for a certain kind of person. And I knew even at that age, like that can't be for me. It's not for my parents, apparently, either. It's just this book. It's just this thing. It's this object. It's this symbol that I don't even know really what it stands for. And that's kind of a weird impression to have, even at five years old. But that impression really stuck with me until I began to walk with Jesus, that I began to be introduced to the Bible that is a living word, that becomes the word of God. I was like, man, this has changed my life. And so if you're here and you're like, man, I sometimes feel like the Bible is just this object. Like it's kind of this religious symbol. And I'm not quite sure what to think of it. Or maybe the Bible has become that. You know, it's kind of become something that I just kind of have to deal with because I'm a Christian. And I have to read it and it can be dry or whatever. I want to encourage you that I am so glad that you are here today, because my goal today is to hopefully share with you something that God gifts us, something that he does for us, that takes the Bible from being just an object or a symbol or just any book and changes it into something that is transformational. My goal today is to unlock a very simple truth, a promise that God gives us to help us see God's word for all it is and apply it to our whole life. It's this simple principle of illumination. What is illumination? Well, illumination is letting the Holy Spirit show me the meaning of God's word and how it applies to my life. In John 14, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he's comforting them because it's becoming obvious. He's making some mention that he's not going to be around forever. And so he looks at his followers, and he's like, hey, I'm not going to be around. And they're starting to get a little bit freaked out by that. They're like, wait, what do you mean you're not going to be around? I mean, what are we going to do? Who's going to teach us? Who's going to guide us? And Jesus makes them a promise. He said, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send someone. So Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26 says this, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you. You see, the Holy Spirit was sent by God to teach us and remind us of the things that Jesus said. You know, over the years, I've noticed that in my life, I can be a little bit forgetful, especially when it comes to my faith. And so I'm so glad that God sends the Holy Spirit to remind me. Because here's the thing about faith. Here's the thing that we need to realize and remember, that we need to constantly be filled with faith, that we need to constantly rely on God to fill us. Because here's the thing is we leak. We're not watertight. We leak faith. And so if we're like, hey, I made a decision a long time ago and I've just kind of like, it was just a thing and we all took pictures and it was great. And now I don't understand why my faith is so dry. Does God care anymore? And I would say, man, are you checking in? Are you filling up? Because we leak. We forget. We need to be reminded. God knows this. He knows it. And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit will guide you and remind you of all that you've been taught. God says, I'll send you some help. And so what does the Spirit of God do? What does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus says it plainly a little bit earlier in chapter 14. He says, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. And so it is the Holy Spirit that truly directs our thoughts and our minds and leads us into all truth. Where is the truth found? Not a trick question. Where is the truth found? In the Bible. It is found only in the Bible. The Bible is truth. God's word is truth. It is trustworthy, and he sends his Spirit to guide us into that truth. So what am I saying? Well, in order for us to understand the truth, we must rely not on our own understanding, but on the Holy Spirit to help us see the truth for all it is. And that's illumination. Because the Bible is not like any other book. I would challenge you to find any book that is actually like the Bible, that can actually be compared. Sure, there are other religious books, but even these books do not compare to the Bible. The Bible is a supernatural book. It's a supernatural book. I mean, think of it this way. It's the only book that you will ever read where you can read it and have a conversation with the author at the same time. There's no other book like it. The Bible is completely unique, and we must rely on the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate our understanding of it, to enlighten our minds so that we can see the things that God wants us to see. Look at what Paul writes in Ephesians 1. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, Paul, he prayed for the church. And what did he pray for? He prayed for the eyes of their heart. Now, simple biology lesson, the eyes are not in the heart, they're on the head. And so Paul is obviously referring to something different here. He's saying that our hearts, the heart that God has given us, has the ability to see things that our natural eyes cannot see. And he says, when that happens, when the eyes of our heart are enlightened, there are two things we can expect supernaturally. The first thing we can expect is we can have hope where God is calling. We can have hope wherever God calls us. And that should be a great comfort, because God is calling each and every believer to somewhere, to something, and that calling never ends. But I want you to be assured that there is a hope wherever God is calling. The other supernatural gift that we can expect is I can experience the depths of God's love. And this is an important one, because there's a difference between objectively understanding. You know, if somebody says, hey, God loves you, Jesus loves you, those are really important phrases, by the way. But there's a difference between hearing that and objectively understanding that God loves you and you actually experiencing that love for yourself. That there is a personal experience that happens. That is really what God is after. And that's why here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix, it is a high priority in this room, in our youth auditorium, in our children's ministry, that you would come to a weekend service and you wouldn't just sit here, but you would experience God's presence. Because we know that in his presence is the power to change lives. It's not objective knowledge, it's experiencing God's presence. It's God's Holy Spirit that truly changes us supernaturally. Because when we experience the presence of God, God gives us hope in spite of our circumstances. Because God knows the future. He gives us his insight. He gives us his comfort. No matter where we are, God is with us when we are present with him. We experience a love that is beyond anything that we can make up or imagine for ourselves. When the eyes of our heart are enlightened, we begin to see the incredible depths of his love. And it's not just this objective knowledge, but it's a true experience. And that experience is truly transformational. The bottom line to illumination: illumination leads to transformation. Illumination is necessary for you to become transformed. It is absolutely necessary. And so, how? How do we get that kind of illumination? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's the remainder of your notes. How do I see with spiritual eyes? The first thing we must do is I must have a relationship with Jesus. I must have a relationship with Jesus. And this relationship must be exclusive. And it must be a committed relationship. This is the starting point to all good things. All good things start with a relationship with Jesus. A committed and exclusive relationship. If we don't have this one, we are hopelessly blind. We are spiritually blind. We can't muster the strength to have spiritual eyes. It must be a gift from God. And this comes and it starts by having a relationship with Jesus. And so we have to get connected to God first. We have to be connected to him if we want to see the things that he wants us to see. And Jesus is the bridge. He is the connection. And that was the intent. And so we can't just know about Jesus. We have to have this connected, personal relationship with him. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. This is Paul again. He says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Paul is pointing out something that is sometimes a mistake in the church, is we look at unbelievers and we judge them by what we know, by what we believe. And it's not that that is not the truth, but they may not know the truth yet. God says that you will be held accountable for what you know. And so as we look to a hurting world that is lost and confused and blind, don't be surprised if they act blind, right? That's how we're going to reach, by the power of God, we will reach a hurting world, but we have to be patient because they may not see the things that you and I see. And what we see here is that this is all part of the plan. Blinded how? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. Who? Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. This may be an obvious point. I'm just going to put it out there. If you are blind, you cannot see. That's like science or something, right? If you are blind, you cannot see. If someone has blinded you, you can't see. People, unbelievers, don't know what they don't know. And so part of our job as believers is to share what we know, to expose them to the truth. But we also can't hold them accountable for something they don't know yet. And this is something that Satan does. He blinds the eyes of non-believers. Why does he do it? Well, he does it for a few reasons. But the main reason is to keep them from God, to keep them from God's will, from his light, from his illumination. And he does this through a few different tactics. He does it by distracting them, by setting them off on a wild goose chase. He confuses them by giving them different information, maybe contrary tales. And most of all, he just blinds them to the truth. They may even hear it, but they can't see it. They can't see it. They've been blinded. But here's the good news. This is the good news for non-believers and believers. The schemes of Satan are not strong enough to overcome the power of the Holy Spirit working through each believer. Amen? And this isn't something that we just will up. This is something that God chooses to do through each and every faithful believer. Do you know that in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are an overcomer? And not for your sake, but for the sake of the world, for the sake of Christ, for the cause of Christ. He has made you an overcomer. There is a time where you were spiritually blind. There is certainly a time where I was spiritually blind. And God set me free. He opened my eyes. I began to see with spiritual eyes. I began to see who he really was. It stopped being just an ornate book on the shelf. And his word began to come alive to me. And as I began to read the word and study the word, I began to love the word. And I began to live this word out, and it has changed my life. And I bet if I were to go around the room, there are so many testimonies of how the word of God has changed your life, has truly been transformational in the way you live. So a relationship with Jesus is the first, most crucial step to seeing what God wants me to see. The second part of receiving illumination from God is I ask God to open my spiritual eyes. I ask. Psalm 119, 18 says this, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. For me, one of my spiritual practices, I simply just say a prayer. Actually, I think I might have said it when I prayed into this message today, that God, would you open the eyes of my heart? Would you open my eyes so that I can see the things you want me to see? And open my ears or tune my ears so I can hear the things that you want me to hear. If you pray this, be careful. It's a powerful thing. God will do it. He will open the eyes of your heart. And if you make this a regular practice, you are simply inviting God. Would you just speak, God, today? As I read your word, as I drive to work, as I deal with that person on the phone, God, would you help me to see with your eyes? I invite you into my life, my everyday life. I invite you in. We ask God to open our spiritual eyes. I would just like to encourage you to say a similar prayer. It doesn't have to be the same words, but it needs to be the same intent, that God, I want you to speak into my life. We invite God into our life to speak to us because God wants us to experience his presence. And it is through his power, his word, that we really do that and we help people experience his presence in a new way. And like any good father, this is a wonderful gift. God is a good father who will not withhold a good gift from his children. And so he wants you to see. You need to know that he wants you to ask for you to see what he sees or see things the way that he sees things. So to receive illumination, we need to ask God in faith, God, would you open my eyes to see what you want me to see? The next way we see with spiritual eyes is we come with a humble attitude. I must come with a humble attitude. If we come to the Bible, and before we open a single page, or before we walk through the doors of the church to hear the word of God preached, if we just say, you know what? I know these stories. I've already heard this story. I know how it goes. Maybe you're a little bit more. I've read the commentary. I understand the point. I could preach this message. What's the point? That is pride. That is pride speaking. What you need to know is that we must come with an expectant heart, and that expectant heart comes through humility. It comes through a meekness of God. Maybe today I don't know everything. Because the truth is, if we're honest, we don't. There's no way you know as much as God, right? There's no way I know for sure. So we come with a humble heart. We're like, Lord, would you teach me something today? Would you teach me something? Maybe in a way that I didn't expect, but I'm going to come with an expectant heart to see you move, that you would teach me and shape me into the person you want me to be. Because our attitude, the way that we approach the Bible, hopefully with a humble heart, will really be something. If we don't approach it with a humble heart, our pride will just get in the way. It'll be a blocker. It'll be a blind spot. It'll be a spacer between where we are now and who God wants us to be. The Bible talks over and over again about pride, and it is never good. It never says anything great about pride. It does say, however, that there is power in humility. There's power in humility. Look at Psalm 25:9. It says, he, God, leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. You see, when we're humble, God leads us and he teaches us. Proverbs 3:5-6, a great memory verse, by the way, if you don't have it memorized, or maybe for your children, even trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. This is how we form humility, realizing that we don't have it all together and that God wants to move us in a direction and we need to be open and ready, not prideful, but humble. If we want to see with spiritual eyes, we must be humble. The fourth thing I need to do in order to receive illumination from God is I must cleanse my heart of sin and conflict. If I am filling my life, if I am surrounding myself with garbage, allowing all kinds of things like bitterness to pile up for lust and resentment and jealousy, if those are the things I'm kind of living in and I'm carrying around with me, it is going to be very hard to see God the way that he wants us to see him, because we are going to be lost in the garbage. That is not God's intent. Just like pride, this kind of stuff can get in the way. Sin and conflict get in the way of what God is trying to accomplish in you, the transformation he is trying to make in every person. Look at what John writes in 1 John 2. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. You see, if we carry around bitterness, if we carry around unforgiveness, the Bible says that we walk in darkness, that we're blinded. We're blinded because we're carrying something around that we shouldn't, that God commands us to get rid of. And so we need to do everything we can to regularly cleanse ourselves from sin and those things that are hurtful to us. When we live with unresolved sin in our life, we will not see with spiritual eyes. We will not see the things that God wants us to see. The point is, we want to really see what God is doing. We cannot bring sin along for the ride. We have to leave it at the door. We have to leave it behind. We cannot carry it with us in this journey. So confess. Tell God where you're messing up. He knows. So confess. Confess your sin. Repent. Go the other way. Turn around. Make a plan not to have these things in your life anymore, not to do these things anymore. And know, understand, embrace the promise that you are cleansed because you've repented. You've gone the other way, and now you can see with spiritual eyes. The fifth and final thing I need to do in order to receive illumination from God is I need to commit to do what God says. I must commit to do what God says. And this commitment is unqualified, it's unconditional obedience to God. This is where we say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to commit now to doing it before I even know what it is, because God, you are good. So many of us have made a profession of faith where we say, Jesus is Lord, right? Many of us in this room have made that statement that Jesus is Lord of all. Is he? Is he Lord of all? Is he Lord of the things that you don't know? Is he Lord of the places he might take you where you're uncomfortable or where you're stretched or where you're unsure? Is he Lord of those places? Because if he is, you must commit beforehand to do what God says to do. You really must commit to it. It's that commitment of walking with the Lord. God will call you to be uncomfortable, but he will also call you to growth. He will give you everything you need. He will not leave your side, but he will call you to places that are going to stretch you. And that is the point. God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever you tell me to do about this relationship, about this job situation, about my money, about the way I live, about the way I treat people, about the way I forgive people, whatever you tell me to do, I'm committed to doing it because I trust you above all things. And when God illuminates his word to you, these things just become more and more obvious. That, man, I have to do it. I see that God's his goodness shines through his word. It shines through the testimony of my life. I can't help but say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Look what James says here in James 1:22. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. You see, when God calls us, he doesn't call us to just be an ear to hear. He calls us to be hands and feet that do. The expression of our faith is not receiving all the time from God. It's a receiving and a sending, a receiving and a doing, a hearing and a doing. There's this back and forth that needs to take place in order for our faith to truly express itself in the way that God wants it to. There is no exception to that. It's not a pastor thing or a certain level of Christianity thing. This is an every Christian thing that we must be doers. And being a doer is a choice. 100% a choice. Being a doer is not a specific calling. It is something we choose ahead of time, that I'm going to commit to do whatever God calls me to do. And so seeing what God wants us to see requires a few things. It requires a relationship with Jesus, an invitation for God to show us, to open our eyes. It requires a humble attitude. It requires us to be cleansed of sin and conflict. And it requires us to be committed to what God says, regardless of what that might be. Today, I want to land with an illustration that was just something that the Lord just kept putting on my mind over and over again. Have you ever tried to walk somewhere in the dark? Have you ever tried to walk somewhere like maybe you were camping? Maybe you were taking out the trash and you're walking along your side yard or to the dumpster. Maybe you're navigating the living room on your way to the kitchen. Has anyone here ever walked in the dark? Everyone has, right? Now, if you don't have a light and you're just walking in the dark, at least for me, maybe I'm just super unlucky, but I end up stepping on Legos in my living room. Maybe standing on a landmine, if you know what I'm saying. I have a dog standing on a landmine in my backyard. Maybe when nature calls when I'm camping, if I don't take a light, I end up finding the only stump in the campground, right? I stumble through the darkness. I'm injured in the darkness often. And so, what do we do? What do we do when we walk through a dark place? We turn on a light. We turn on a light. And this light illuminates our steps. And this is not a new idea. The psalmist who wrote Psalm 119 said this: "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This is illumination. As we walk out our life, we ask God to illuminate our steps. And I know if we had it our way, we'd want to point this light in a direction. God, what about way over there? What about 10 steps or 20 steps ahead? What about that? But God doesn't do that. You know what God does? He illuminates one or two steps ahead. And he says, you know what? Don't worry about what's 10 steps or 20 steps ahead. I want you to be faithful with this next step, this one step or this two step. As we walk out our faith, God says, take a step and my light will follow you. Every step you take, I'll be with you. Lean on me, lean on my light, and I will illuminate your next step. This is how faith is walked out. Faith is not walked out all at once. It's walked out one faithful step at a time until we reach our destination, until he calls us home. This is how we walk out our faith. And so as you can see, illumination is absolutely essential to us walking the path in which God has called each of us to walk as followers of Jesus. I want to challenge you today. I want to give you something practical to take with you today. I've provided to you a prayer. It's at the bottom of your bulletin. There's nothing special about this prayer. It's just words. It's more important that you have a heart posture, a desire for God to truly illuminate your spiritual eyes, to show you what he wants to show you. Here's the prayer. Holy Spirit, I realize that I need you to illuminate your truth in me. Help me to see what you want me to see and go where you want me to go. This is a powerful prayer. You say it in your own words, at your own time, but I would give you homework, and I'd say, man, pray this prayer every week. Pray a prayer like this every week. God, would you open my eyes to see, so I can see what you have for me today and go wherever you want me to go. Help me to be obedient. Illuminate your life that you have for me. Illuminate my path and guide my feet. If you do this, I do believe that God will begin to take you in a direction. He really will illuminate his truth to you through his word and illuminate his plan for you as you walk out faith one step at a time. Would you stand with me? Can I have the ministry team please come to the front? As you came in today to the service, I don't know what you were expecting. God knew where you were. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows where you are right now, and he knows where you're going. But my prayer for the church today is that we learn to be expectant of what God can do and he's willing to do. But we have to walk with him if we want to see what that really is. And so there may be a group of you in here, when I said that you need to have a relationship with Jesus, that you're like, yeah, I got to do that because I'm spiritually blind. There's no way around it. Without Jesus, we cannot receive illumination. If that's you, I'd love for you to come down here and speak with one of our ministry team members after I release the service today. We'd love to celebrate all that God's doing. Maybe you need to make a new commitment to Jesus. Like, you know what? Yeah, relationship with Jesus, but it's not really been exclusive. Maybe I've had a little bit of a, like, I haven't really been walking with him as well as I need to, or I know I want to. Maybe that's you. But for many of you, I think when I held that lantern, you had this moment of, I've been choosing to walk in the dark. I've been kind of stumbling around in the darkness because I forgot. I forgot that God offers to light my path, that he wants to be with me in the darkness, that he wants to illuminate the life around me. And so I would just say, man, whatever that next step is for you, maybe it's taking a newcomer's class, maybe it's getting baptized, maybe it's serving in a way, maybe there's a coworker at work that you need to invite to church. Maybe there's someone you see where you're like, you know, God has been telling me to serve this person, and I've just been too shy. Now's your chance. God's illuminating something in your mind, and next step, I would challenge you to be faithful in your next faithful step. If you're a first-time guest here, we are so excited you're here. So glad you're here. If you'd like, there's a guest welcome after our service in the Information Center. We'd love to meet with you, some pastors and leaders in there that can answer any questions about the church. If you have prayer needs of any kind, if you'd like prayer, we have a wonderful ministry team here at Vineyard Church North Phoenix who would love to pray with you and encourage you. Whatever you might need prayer for, we believe that God is still healing today, that he's speaking today. And so if you need that, please come up to the front. Click that button online. We'd love to interact with you and celebrate with you, but also pray if you have a need. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for giving us the ability to see with spiritual eyes through the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray right now, as we stand here before you, God, that you would illuminate our minds and our hearts, that you would illuminate our next steps, and Lord, would you help us to be faithful in taking that next step, whatever that is. We thank you that you are with us, that you love us wherever we are, but you don't want us to stay there. Lord, would you move us forward, whatever that looks like. I pray for my friends as they go, God, that you give us purpose, and that we lean on you for our understanding. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, guys. Have a great weekend. See you later.